Hello, everyone. This is Kerwin, and welcome to episode 101 of What's Happening Travel with Kusho and Kerwin. I am Kerwin, and Kusho is not here today. Today, my background is a JetBlue A321. Squinting down, so if you're watching, you can see it. Taken in JFK. This is an old livery, and I have a picture of JetBlue because JetBlue just changed their livery. It's very blue, no cheat lines. And a cheat line is just a line that usually runs from the front of the airplane to the back of the airplane. And it kind of just breaks up the colors of the airplane. But now, partly, it's not, they're not going to have the different tails anymore. It's going to be a whatever the new scheme is, that's going to be it for every plane. So they'll start painting their stuff over. One of the things about airlines that do livery changes is that it's not usually not just about the livery. And the livery, for those who don't know, is a paint scheme. And it's usually, they usually do a lot more. So like the napkins will change. The marketing will change, the website will change, and things like that that goes with the whole new look and feel. The logo looks the same, but the tail is very different. So over the next few years, you'll see the new color scheme rolling out. Now, I always think that airlines love to do this, right? Because it looks fresh. And sometimes when you get new CEOs, they like to do that. Now, JetBlue doesn't have a new CEO. Like they didn't just get a new CEO or anything like that. But I don't know why they're redoing delivery. They always come up with some reason of why it makes sense to do it. Apart from aviation geeks, I don't think customers really care. All they want is airplanes to be clean. They want it on time. They want the bags to be delivered. And, you know, they want to get, you know, food on the plane if that's the case. But oftentimes the airlines think that they need to do a rehash of everything. But for me, I think that's usually a very costly thing. And I don't know how they justify the cost of doing that, because you're going to have a lot of these airplanes in the old scheme. It's going to take forever to change over. And then they have these special schemes. I don't think they're going to change those airplanes. You know, they have, I think they have an airplane that's painted in a New York Jets color scheme. And I don't think they're going to change those, but, you know, we'll see what they, maybe it'll be a stylized version or something like that. Now, airplanes do have to get painted from time to time. And so it's one of those things where you say, well, if we're going to have to paint the airplanes anyway, we might as well repaint them. We might have painted them in a different color scheme. But it's more than just delivery of the airplane. So I'm, you know, neither here nor there on it. Of course, as an aviation geek, it's fun to see new liveries, but I just don't think they're necessary. And lots of airlines, if you look at some of the airlines now, even Delta still has some planes in the old livery, I think. I know United still does. And American is probably done with all of them, but it always takes, it's such a long process and it's such a costly process that, but you know, I don't know the airline's finances in the back end, but as a consumer, I just want you to get me there, and I want to get me there on time. I want a clean airplane, and I want good fare. That's really what's important. Yeah, the airplane should look good, but your current livery is fine. So, you know, maybe you should concentrate your time and money on making sure everything else works rather than doing this stuff. Because I know, like, so JetBlue is a good airline, but in the Caribbean, they're terrible. And I say this because, so they have like some horrible times in the Caribbean, and they will leave at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Or they'll arrive at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, seriously, this is the time you're arriving in the Caribbean at that time in the morning. Because all they're thinking about is how they need to get people back to the hub so they can, connect them to where they need to go. But arriving at 4 o'clock in the 1 o'clock in the morning in Jamaica is not a good thing. Departing at 4 o'clock in the morning is not a good thing. And so they need, and it's not just Jamaica. They've done the same thing in did they have a flight that arrives? Well, in Barbados, it wasn't so bad because they had a flight that arrived at like 5:45 a.m. or something like that. But if you look around the Caribbean, you'll see what I'm talking about. That during the summer, they have these interesting times that the flights arrives, and they're always like, in Jamaica, we say one dog freed to arrive in the Caribbean. So you guys have a really large network, but that's something you should look at. I mean, you could think about it, right? You need people to get to and from the airplane and work the flights and stuff like that. And you're bringing flights in at that time in the morning. It's convenient only for JetBlue, not the employees and not the people who are actually we need to get on the plane. Is you know, so I'd say that's what you need to look into. Of course, I don't know your complete picture, but anyway, I'm ranting. So that's the one of the big news of the week. The other big news of the week is Qantas has now returned to New York, but they used to have a flight that I think it would do JFK to LA at some point, and then LA to Sydney. I know Air New Zealand also had a flight that did JFK to LA and then LA to Sydney, and it's now I think it now does a nonstop or will do a nonstop. So Qantas has launched this, I think it was like Tuesday. Now the interesting thing, it doesn't go from Sydney to JFK, it goes from Auckland to JFK. I know that they of course have to get special rights from Air New Zealand to do that, but I would think that they would go from Sydney, but they didn't. It's an Auckland flight, and I'm just pulling it up on my little schedule here. So if you go to passrider.com, you can actually do airline schedules on there, and I thought I had it active, but I don't. So let me just look that up. This particular flight, let's give you some timings on it. It is not daily at the moment. I think eventually they're gonna do them daily. And it's flown by a 787-9. The beautiful thing about the 787 is that it has allowed a lot of these cool routes because it can fly so far. I have a program on passrider.com that tells you the top 18, the top 18 flights, longest flights in the world. So if I look at Auckland, KL to JFK, and non-stops. Okay, so right now that flight, Qantas 3, QF3, is 16 hours and 15 minutes from Auckland to JFK. It covers a distance of 8,842 miles. And in kilometers, that is 14,230 kilometers on a 787-9. And if we wanted to see the other direction, in the other direction, JFK to Auckland. It is. Leaves at 7:30, gets there at 5 a.m. And it's 17 hours and 30 minutes. Qantas flight 4 on a 789. And 17 hours and 30 minutes, JFK to Auckland. I don't think it arrives the same day, but it's saying it does. Go back. I thought coming the other way, you'd arrive the same day. So maybe I need to, maybe there's something wrong with the schedules. We'll check that. But yeah, but it doesn't do Sydney, which I thought was quite interesting. So there you have it. So if you want to go nonstop to Auckland, then you can go can take Qantas. It's a 787-9. The other story that I have for this week is airlines that I just did a post on passrider.com, and I wanted to talk about it a little bit because Africa is one of the places that it's very difficult to get to nonstop from the United States. But there are actually 10 airlines that serve that go from Africa to the US and Canada. And this can happen because United added some routes and Delta added some routes. And but South African Airways that used to fly into the US no longer does. It looks like all they have is just local flights and just to places around South Africa that they do fly. They had a restructuring and they're not the same airline that they used to be. But if we look at the 10 airlines that fly nonstop, is the first one. One thing about African travel is it is extremely expensive to fly between the countries. And ground transportation takes a long time, and crossing the border is quite a hassle when you have to do that. So bear that in mind. I was talking to someone on the post online, and they were saying that sometimes it takes longer. You have to go like to Europe and then come back to do to get even a good fare, which is really ridiculous when you think about it. Now, the bigger airlines in Africa are Egypt Air, Ethiopian, Kenya Airways, South African Airways to a lesser extent, and Royal Air Maroc that's in Morocco. Now there's Tunis. I think it's Tunis Airways, I think is what it's called. Or I'm trying to think of the right name. But the bigger ones are like Air Senegal. And Air Senegal, they're based in Dakar, Senegal, and they fly into the US from Dakar to New York. There's Delta, and Delta does Accra to New York, as in Ghana, Atlanta to Cape Town in South Africa, Atlanta Joburg in South Africa, Atlanta to Lagos in South Africa, and then they do the reverse journeys. They used to fly to another, I think Abuja, but I'm not seeing the Abuja schedule, so they might have stopped that. Or it might be seasonal. Egypt Air, which is in Cairo, they actually fly Toronto to Cairo. And for the US, they do New York, Newark, Washington, Dulles. That's the ones that they do. Ethiopian Airlines go from Addis Ababa to Dublin. And they're kind of, and then Dublin to Toronto. Now, Ethiopian is always odd because they've used Dublin as a connecting point before. So they used to have a Dublin to LA flight, and they stopped that, I guess, because it wasn't making any money. But now they're still using Dublin as a connecting point, but the other places in the US. So they have a flight that does Addis to Abidjan in Cote d'Ivoire and then to New York. Then you have Addis to Dublin to Atlanta, Addis to Dublin to Chicago, Addis to Dublin to Washington, Dulles, Addis to Lome in Togo, to Newark, and then Addis to Lome to Washington, Dulles. And then, of course, it does the flip. Well, not of course, because it doesn't do the on the flip, you can actually do Chicago Addis. So it does the stop on the way to the US, but going back, it doesn't do the stop. So you get nonstop New York to Cote d'Ivoire, but that one actually goes to Addis. Then you have Newark to Lome to Addis again, and then Washington Dulles to Addis. And then Washington Dulles to Lome to Addis. So some flights will do a direct going back, and some are actually nonstop. Remember, a direct flight makes at least one stop, doesn't change the flight number, but you could change the equipment. Kenya Airways does Nairobi to New York. Royal Maroc does Casablanca to Morocco, and also Montreal to Morocco. Casablanca, Montreal, yeah, sorry. Casablanca to Miami, it does. And Casablanca to New York, Casablanca to Washington Dulles, and then it does the reverse journey. Going further down, we've got SATA International. Now, SATA is pretty cool. I flew them to Ponta Delgado from Boston a few years ago, and this is when they were kind of changing livery. And now they're Boston to Ponta Delgado, and then they go to Praia, which is in Cabo Verde. As Ponta Delgada is in Portugal, in the Azores, but the flight does Boston, Ponta Delgada, and then it goes to Praia in Cabo Verde, and then it does the return journey to Boston. So you have to pass through another country. This is one of those, we talked about this before, Fifth Freedom Rights, where the airline has authority to fly passengers between two countries, one of which is not its own in essence. So in this case, it's Cabo Verde to Ponta Delgada to Boston, but the airline is based in Ponta Delgada, so I guess it's not technically not a Fifth Freedom Right, but they do continue on to Africa. So Tunis Air, they're based in Tunisia, and they fly to Montreal. Now, I was talking to someone about this, and they mentioned that there's a large Tunisian population in Montreal, which explains the flight French. United Airlines, they do Accra to Washington Dulles, Cape Town to Newark, Cape Town to Washington Dulles, Joburg to Newark, Lagos to Dulles, Newark to Cape Town, Newark to Joburg, and then Washington, Accra, Washington, Cape Town, and Washington to Lagos. Now there's it. Now there is connecting service. So if you can't get on a nonstop flight, you can always connect over Paris on Air France, London on British Airways, Dubai on Emirates, Amsterdam on KLM, Frankfurt on Lufthansa, even Qantas over Perth, Qatar via Doha, and Virgin Atlantic via London Heathrow. And there might actually be some others, but I think these are the big ones. So you can still get to South Africa. I mean, get to the African continent by connecting flights. So those are the options that you have if you're going to fly to Africa from the US. Now, just remember, a lot of the countries do require visas, and they're expensive. If some you can do online, some you actually have to send your passport and stuff to the embassies to get them done. You may require some health, there may be some health requirements. So you may have to get like shots, either malaria shots or yellow fever shots. I know when I went to Ghana, I had to get a yellow fever shot, and they're very strict on that. If you don't have one, as soon as you get there, they have a nurse with a needle waiting to stick you in the arm. Now the thing about the yellow fever shot, it takes like 2 weeks to take effect. You'll be protected because it takes 2 weeks to be effective. But you can't go in unless you have that shot. Sometimes the airline won't even let you get on the plane unless you have the little yellow card with the little date on it. So make sure you have the right documentation to get there and travel insurance. As always, passrider.com/travel insurance. Make sure you check that out. One thing I wanted to add to here is that I've added some links, affiliate links, which means that whenever you book through those links, I get a small commission. And so you can do Skyscanner, passrider.com/skyscanner. You can book your flights that way. You can do passrider.com/Expedia. And here you can book your flights, your cars, and your hotels. You can do flight car, speaking of hotels, you can do fastrider.com/Marriott to book Marriott slash hotels will take you to the full page that has all the hotels listed on there, but I'm just giving you to them so you know what they are. It's basically the name of the hotel. So it's passwell.com/Wyndham, passwell.com/Radisson, passwell.com/Choice, passwell.com/Hyatt, passwell.com/Marriott, passwell.com/IHG, passwell.com/ALL. And ALL is Accor. That's the new name, Accor Limitless. And that's like the Novotels and the Sofitels, the Mercure of the worlds. So check that out. And if you like this podcast, save it, share it, leave a comment, and leave a review. I appreciate it. This is Kerwin with FastRider.com and CruiseAnalogy.com and LieFlatSeats.net. So have a good flight, have a good trip, and we'll talk soon.